to keep on, we have to be keeping on. Because you know why? There's more people, there's more empty seats in here than there are full seats. And I wonder who's supposed to sit in that seat right there. That person is not yet here yet. So we exist for you. We exist for each other. We exist for God. But we also exist for the person that's not yet here. And that's the person that we need to be on the line for. Amen? Man. But your best is yet to come. If you're high or if you're low. High in the success sense. On the mountain high. Or if you're in the valley low. Your best is yet to come. Because it doesn't matter where you're at. There's something better for you. God wants you to have His very best. That's what He wants for you. You say, how do you define what's His very best? Whatever it is that He has put in your heart to do and to be, to the maximum that you can do it and be it, that's His best. It's one thing for me. It's a different thing for Jerry. It's another thing for Victoria. It's a different thing for each and every one of us that's in here, this place today. You say, well, gosh, you know, I'm such a screw-up. You know what? That don't matter. Your best days are still ahead. We just got to start looking up, reaching up, going up. Isn't that true? So God wants you to have His very best. And there's always more ahead. More ahead. I don't care if you're older than Moses. There's more ahead. I'm not going to talk about my mother-in-law. I promise I'm not going to talk about my mother-in-law tonight, okay? Unless it's good. Okay, you know. But it doesn't matter how old you are, there's more to come. And you know, really, when you get down to death, the best is to come. Man, won't it be awesome someday if we could just reach our potential and stand before God and He looks at us and, you know, we know what the Bible says. I'm going to paraphrase it. You know, He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He looks at us and say, man, you did good. You did good. Come on in. That'd be awesome, won't it? I hope that none of us, when we get there, He looks at us and say, you didn't do anything that I asked you to do. You didn't accomplish anything that you were supposed to. But you do get to come in. And we have to hang our head and go in. It's not a well done. It's just you're in by the skin of your teeth. You're saved and that's it. And saved people will be there. But I don't want to be just saved, do you? See, that's not what it's about, just getting saved. That's the start. We're going to give a lot of people this year, from now on, a chance to make a fresh start in their life. We're going to give them opportunities to pray prayer, to do a fresh start. But I want us to be able to pray with a whole bunch of people for fresh starts. And they can start the journey. It begins with salvation. It doesn't end with salvation. That's where it begins. That's where the change and the new life begins. And that's where the potential can start being realized. And that's what we need to help people see. That's what I need to help you see tonight. That you're not your best yet. And there's more ahead. And God wants to give you the best. And I like that. You know, we don't need to come to the place that we accept life as it comes and assume that that's the will of God. There's a lot of people that do that. Well, whatever comes in life, that must be the will of God. No. God has given us some responsibility too. We have a role to play in His plan. The Bible tells us that we are workmen together with God. We're His partners. We're partners with God. He does the work. He does it through us. And as He does the work through us, He improves us. And that's the thing that we don't realize. We think, okay, see, here's the mindset of people who have gone to our kind of church all their life. Say, Pastor, give me more of the Word. Let's get deeper. And what we have gotten, we hadn't got deeper, we just got wider. We become fat. We become spiritually fat on the Word. And the reason that we become fat on the Word is because we take the Word in, and we take the Word in, and we think that the key is just getting more knowledge. I'm all for getting more knowledge, okay? But it's what we do with the knowledge that we get. It's how we implement it in our lives. And then how we become ministers of Christ and share that with other people. That's when you get into the deep stuff. You don't get educated into the deep stuff. You get into the deep stuff when you start doing the simple stuff that you know to do, and it opens the door to the deep. One thing that they told us when we went to Bible school, and you'd be surprised what they taught us at Bible school. Oh, I want to go to Bible school so I can learn the deep stuff. You know what they taught us? They taught us very simple, basic stuff, and they taught us how to deal with people. That's the main thing that they taught us in Bible school, how to deal with people. Because you know why? Because people is our business. And if you don't have people skills, and you don't have compassion for people, and you don't love people, and you don't learn how to reach out and minister to people, you can have all the knowledge in the world. You can think you're some kind of guru, and really you're just a babe. So what we're launching into is going to cause some of you to stretch and to grow and to reach your potential when you do these acts of kindness. When you bring the Word into you, you learn the Word begins to change you, and you turn around and you start doing things in other people's lives, you're going to be amazed at what you learn. And they told us in Bible school, you'll learn 2 to 3 times as much by doing what you learn here than what you're learning while you're here. They told us that. And you know what? That was so true. Because you come out of Bible school and you have a whole head full of knowledge and no experience. It's the experience that begins to work the character in our lives. Okay? And it's so easy sometimes to get discouraged because you're thinking, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes on Monday after church, after a big weekend, I'm thinking, how do we do that? I feel as dumb as a rock sometimes. And I'm thinking, I don't know, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I shouldn't admit this, should I? I'm supposed to have all the answers. No, I just see the vision. How we get there is going to be a God thing. And that's the faith part. But we have to be willing to step in that direction and stay focused and not get discouraged so that we can do our part and God can supernaturally do His part. How did we get 400 and something people here Sunday? I don't have a clue. I'm just saying, yay God. And I think it'll be a miracle if they come back. But I'm all for this, okay? So don't accept life as it comes. You have a part to play in this. Don't assume that whatever happens is just the will of God. This is my lot in life. No. That's so fatalistic, and there's a whole bunch of fatalistic theology out there. You know, some fatalistic theology says that whatever happens in your life was by God's design. No. That might be true if you didn't have a will and there wasn't a devil. So everything that happens in our life either happens because we have a will, there's a devil, or there's a God. 2 out of 3 is not good. You and the devil. God is the good part. Are you listening to me? So there's a whole bunch of things that happen in our lives that are not good, and they're not God. Okay? So don't just accept life as it comes and assume that it's God's will. You know, unhappiness is not knowing what we want and killing ourselves to get it. Say that again. Unhappiness is not knowing what we want and killing ourselves to get it. There are so many people who do not know their purpose. They're not looking for their purpose. They're driven, but they don't know what they're driven by, and they're unhappy, and they're killing themselves, going nowhere. We got somewhere to go. So one of the things that we got to do is learn how to jump a little higher. I like the story in the book about the guy that at night goes through the graveyard and there's no lights. And he falls into an open grave. So he begins to scratch and scratch and scratch to try to get out, and he jumps and he can't get out, and he jumps and he can't get out. He finally wears himself out and he lays down in the grave and goes to sleep. Well, about an hour later, his buddy that was at the bar with him comes through the same graveyard, falls in the same hole. He scratches and scratches and scratches, and he's trying to get out. He's jumping. He's doing everything. He can't get out. And he's about ready to give up. And he's going to sit down and go to sleep. And about that time, his buddy wakes up and says, "Hey there!" And he got out of the grave. He had just a little bit more motivation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, you know, you're out in the water and you're swimming and you're getting tired and you're about to drown, and all of a sudden here comes a snake swimming up, and then you're walking on the water. You have just a little bit more motivation. And sometimes we just have to jump a little bit higher. We have to, you know, we have to reach out. You know, there's two reasons why progress doesn't happen in our lives. And you think about this. Number one, we won't let go of what's holding us back. That's big. We won't let go of what's holding us back. We just keep hanging on to that same old weight, the same old behavior that keeps holding us back. Oh, we could camp there for a while. But we don't have time to camp there. The second one is, we're afraid. We won't press on because we're afraid of the future. The fear thing. The fear of the future. What's going to happen? Oh, I'm just afraid. I'm fearful. And it really goes back to inferiority and just old fear. Lack of trust. Lack of faith. And what we have to learn how to do is focus. Everybody say focus, because that's what we're talking about, not focus. You have to focus your faith on a different result. You can't look at the future with fear. You've got to look at the future with faith. I don't know how we're going to get where we need to be as a church, but I'm not focusing on what I don't know. I'm going to focus on God who has all knowledge, and I know that He's going to give it to me when we need it. We're going to fake it, do we? No. We're going to focus on what God knows. We're going to focus on God. Our trust is in Him. It's not on the arm of the flesh. It's on the purposes of God. See, focus is a choice. Let's say that together. Focus is a choice. Focus is a choice. You're one of two kind of people. You're either a wandering generality or a meaningful specific. You're either a wandering generality, a jack of all trades and a master of none, or you are a meaningful specific. You're focused. You know what you're about. You know where you're going. And you keep your eye on the prize. Remember that? Keep your eye on the prize. You know what? Being focused many times is the difference between good and best. It's the difference between good and best. I want to read Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 12. This is from the Message Bible. So unless you have a Message Bible, it's probably not going to read like your King James or whatever translation. This is Paul. And he's talking about being focused on the goal. He says, I'm not saying that I have this all together and that I have it made, but I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. I love that picture. I'm reaching for that which has reached for me. And guess what? He reached for you first. I don't know why sometimes you think that you're not loved by God. Because He reached for you before you were ever born. He reached for you in Jesus Christ 2,000 years. Well, He actually did it before that, before the foundations of the world. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He, in Christ, before you were ever conceived or thought of, He reached for you. And Paul says, you know what? I'm going to reach for that which is reaching for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's good stuff. But I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Does that sound like a person of focus? You know what? I may fall down. I may get beat up. I may be cast into the sea. I may be put in prison. He says, but I've got my eye on the prize. I'm keeping my eye on Jesus. So let's keep focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, that they're losing their focus, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I have to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is Dead End Street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. That's He has a unique way of saying some things, doesn't He? So, what do we need to do? We've got to stay focused. Okay, let's talk about the 5 steps. We've got 10 minutes. 5 steps to God's best. Number one, focus on the goal. Focus on the goal. You know, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our goal is found where? Through the Word, isn't it? See, this is one thing. This is one area that this church has always been strong in many churches like our church, is that we are very Word-oriented. We know that God's Word is our focus, that we find the will of God, the way of God. We find the answers through the Word. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This says that the Word of God goes right down to your core, and it separates the very dividing points of everything that you use to make decisions with. Even joints and marrow and spirit, soul, and it just abides it and shows the light. The Word of God is very, very powerful. You know what? You don't start at your goal. You start at the start. Your goal is in front of you. I remember years ago, I had been here several years. The church in the early days, we struggled. I mean, you know, when I came, we had 40 people maybe back in the Stone Age, back in 1981. We had about 40 people. Then we started having some success, and we had about 60 people. And I remember after the first year, there had been some accusations made, and I was accused of stealing money and chasing women, and Kathy had a black baby hid in the closet. I mean, stupid, ridiculous stuff. There's some people who left the church. They started another church. They had bought and donated a piano and organ to the church, and they left. They took it with them. This one individual, the first year that I was there, his tithes and offerings was $26,000. That was half of the budget. He was the one who left. You're talking about some scary times. The neat thing about all that was that our offerings never dropped a quarter. In fact, they went up. We didn't lose, we went forward. But we had many ups and downs in the early days. We had people get mad. We were a pretty carnal bunch. We had a bunch of babies. Selfish, baby. I'm talking about the early, early days. Dennis and Gail might have been there, and Claudine was probably there. I don't know anybody. You know, Linda Haley was there. See, they're still here, so they weren't the babies I'm talking about. but we had some folks that were just pretty devious. And there were several times that it just almost gutted the church. I remember week after week, they'd say, well, so-and-so's leaving the church. Next week, well, so-and-so, they're leaving the church. So-and-so, I got used to hearing, well, so-and-so's leaving the church. And I remember we had a guest speaker one day, and I was sitting on the platform. I was low. I had a vision in my heart for what I saw in my heart, what God wanted to do with this church. And I remember sitting on the platform that day while this guy was preaching, and I thought to myself, when this is over, I'm going to ask him if he would like to be the new pastor. I thought that. I thought, I can't take this anymore. And I sat there and I looked across the congregation, and there's a guy that he'd stand up and prophesy. 2 months before that, he'd had an affair. And he was standing up prophesying. And I said, he's had an affair. I'm just thinking in my mind. I just kind of went across the congregation. I said, this old boy over here has been married 6 times. This woman over here is crazy as a loon. Just in my mind, you know, there were just people who had all kinds of problems. And I'm thinking, this whole place is crazy. And then I concluded, I'm the pastor and I'm probably the craziest one here. And I just remember feeling low. I'm not a person who gets depressed, but I was depressed. And I thought, there's got to be some way I can go somewhere else. Start over. Do something different. Well, I got through it. And I'm so glad I did, because I had something in my heart that I knew that God wanted to do. And I'm thinking, man, if I had given up in those early days, I wouldn't get to be a part of this awesome church today. And I'm just so glad that I kept my eye on the goal and not just looking at the circumstances around me. And you know, every one of us deal with crud in our lives. Some of it is self-made, and some of it is made by other people. But we just have to remember, God's got better stuff for us. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our eye on the goal. How do we do that? You got to activate your faith. This is a faith thing. I mean, we're dealing with that, first of all, which people says cannot be done. You know, you may get a word from the doctor that says you got a terminal disease, you're going to die. That's not what the word says. You may hear bad news about this or that, and they'll tell you, you know, you're going to go under, you're going to have to go bankrupt. That's not what the word says. What does the word say? We're either going to have to go with our circumstances, or we're going to have to go with what the Word says. We're going to have to activate our faith. How do we do that? By three things. By believing, by confessing, and by focusing. Word's got to be first place. The best way to battle the enemy is to use the words of your mouth, to confess what the Word says. I'm not just talking about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I'm talking about saying what the Word says. What does the Word say about me? It says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. What am I saying about me? If I'm struggling with me, then I need to say, listen, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the goal the Father has put out in front of me. That's who I am. So I have to believe, I have to confess, and I have to focus on those things. Number two, I have to overcome indifference. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to become indifferent. There, you know, there's dream killers out there. Failure sometimes will be a dream killer. People who become indifferent, they lack focus. And they're easily distracted. They lack focus, and they're easily distracted. And that's what happens when we do. Remember we talked about sharpening the axe? We allow our axe to get dull. The thing that God has given us to work with, that talent, that ability, that calling, whatever it is, because we get indifferent, we allow our axe to get dull. Okay, Scripture. I've got to hurry. I'm about out of time. Man. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you lack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. If you lack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Number three, conquer worry, fear, panic, and paralysis that comes when you face difficult circumstances. In other words, you're going to have to face fear. You're going to have to look it straight in the eye. Remember the old story we talked about, run to the roar? When an old lion gets old, his teeth starts falling out, he gets all stove up, he can't run, he can't hunt like he used to. But one thing he's got going is a mighty roar. And sometimes in the what do they call it? A pride or a den of lions, a group of lions. The old lion will get out in front of the prey, and the young lions will go behind the prey, and the big lion, the old lion will roar, mighty roar, and the prey will turn around and run from the roar, and he'll run into the young lions that tear him to pieces. And if the prey, whatever it was, the deer, the antelope, if he'd have just run to the roar, he'd have been all right. Well, you know, a lot of times, Satan roars big, and it's called the roar of fear. You can't do that. You're not worthy. You're no good. And what do you need to do? You need to run toward the roar. You got to conquer the fear, the panic, the paralysis that comes when you face difficult circumstances. When they say you can't do it, and that just sick dread feeling comes over you, you've got to step through and you got to go on and you got to run to the roar. 2 Timothy 1:17, I love this scripture. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Number four, you got to undo blurred vision, double-mindedness, or multiple vision. James, the book of James, says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We have to stay focused. Number one, we have to stay focused on Jesus and His Word. Number two, we have to build our foundation on the Word. Number three, you have to make the Word your standard. And this is what we as a church need to learn to do. And we need to teach new people that come in and people who are going to make fresh starts and get saved in this church. We've got to teach them how to make the Word of God their standard for living. Because it is the only thing, it's the only solid ground that you can build your life on. It's the only solid thing that you can build on that will ensure that you'll be a success in life. Number five, you got to stop hanging out with unfocused people. That's tough. People that drag you down, you got to get away from them. You got to hang out with people who encourage you. They encourage you to go on and stay focused. You can find mentors that will help you do that. Some of those folks that you can hang out with are in books. Or you can listen to teaching tapes that will encourage you. You can hang around people. This should be the thing for Christian fellowship. See, because the Bible says that we are to encourage, we are to exhort one another, we're to lift one another up, we're to encourage one another. This is our job. This is one of the reasons that part of our vision is called reach up, reach in, reach in. What's that reaching in? We're reaching in to learn, but we're also reaching in together to become a body together. Because there's times that I may lack and I may need what you supply in my life. I don't know if you've noticed or not that I'm not perfect. Man, I hate to admit that. And you're not either. I can supply something in your life. You can supply something in my life. I see these girls sitting on the front. I like to see them sitting up here close to the front. And, you know, they're putting their lives back together. They're getting off of drugs and alcohol or goofed up lifestyles. And I hear their testimonies. And when I hear their testimonies, you know what that does for me? That just blesses me. That encourages me. That builds. That does something to my faith. That does something to my life. That strengthens my life. So you know, you may be a baby Christian, and you think, well, there's nothing that I can be or do here. Oh yeah. If it's nothing but your testimony, if it's nothing but your shining face sitting there soaking in the Word, because you see so many Christians that have been Christian a long time, and, you know, they kind of got this attitude. Teach me something if you can, preacher. I doubt if you can tell me anything because I already know everything you know. I doubt that. I doubt that very seriously. I'm more spiritual than you are. No, you're just fatter. You may be more carnal than I am because of your attitude. You know I need God. I know I need God. I know I need the Word. I know I don't know everything. When you think you got it and you're all that, you ain't near all of what you think you are. You're just not. Anyway, why'd I say that? Was I talking to Nancy? Okay. All right. So, you know, you have to stop hanging out with people who drag you down, who are unfocused. Get around people that know where they're going. One thing I love about this preachers that this bunch of preachers that I found that are building churches, they are so focused and they're so excited. I was on Twitter the other day, twittering around, and I saw Stovall Weems. He has a church in Florida. It's an Ark Plant church, and they had 13,000 Easter Sunday. I'm thinking, whoa, dog. I talked about over 1,000 salvations. They had more salvations than we, twice what we had people here. You think, well, does that discourage you? No, that gets me excited. Because I'm learning what he knows, and they're sharing with us what they know, and I get to hang around with them, and they're people of focus and people of vision. And, you know, if I can get up close to Dino Rizzo and he can rub on my head and rub some of that Servolution anointing off on me, whoo, dog, I'm taking it. I want us to be able to run with. I want some of that glory that's on them to get off on me, so I can get back here and rub on you, and we can get it on us. And we can do more than we've ever done to build the kingdom of God. I'm excited about some relationships that I've developed here in town. Jeff Cox, who is First Assembly, he has the same heart that we have to build a mighty church for the kingdom of God. Not just to build First Assembly, but to build the kingdom. And, you know, we had, and I'm not saying this braggingly or anything, but we had 100 more people here than they had there. And when he heard that, you know what he did? He said, praise God. Because he's about the kingdom, and he's not about his church. And that's what we need to be about, is about the kingdom. And not just about building us up. And when we hear that other churches are doing well, we shouldn't feel jealous. We should just be excited for them. Randy Maxwell, they took out that big... Did anybody see their ad in The Guard? It was a whole page. $800 for that puppy. They blew it out Sunday morning. They were full and running over. They had 270 at their church. And I'm thinking, glory to God. Because he has a heart to win people to Christ. And they had salvations. And I'm thinking, glory. This is what that's about. And we're all a part of the same kingdom. And we need to be excited about that. And people that we can find that will help keep us focused in our life, that's the kind of folks we need to hang around with. And let me tell you something. There's going to be people coming through this door. New people, because we're having a lot of people check us out right now. And some of them are looking for somebody that can give them some hope. The economy's bad. It's our greatest opportunity. And we're not going to come in here and talk about how bad the economy is. We're going to talk about how good God is. How that God can meet you. But y'all shout a little bit now. Preach! Glory! Woo! Son! Okay, let's pray. It's 10 after. Becky Burdine will be shooting us. Father God, thank you so much.